The devil is alive and well. And he is fighting against us every single day. A few Sunday nights ago, I got to preach and share with you about being ready in season and out of season. This morning, I want to share with you a plan to be ready in season and out of season. The students were challenged this week. I cannot tell you how proud I am of the students. Everybody always asks, well, how do you prepare for Arlington? You don't. We tried and we meet and we get together and we share different thoughts and different ideas, different ways to share your testimony and everything. But at the end of the day, he's in charge. Can I tell you how proud I am when we have some fine adult leadership over our student ministry? And I'm privileged to take them on trips and to watch them invest in the lives of our students. And that's all I'm going to say about that. You have to come back tonight, as Paul Harvey says, for the rest of the story. I do want to share one thing this morning, not in regards to Arlington, but also in regards to Arlington. I don't know if you noticed who took the offering. It was some of our students asked by our Deacon of the Week to take it. Wasn't it great to see our students serving? See, that's called a setup. You really want to see them serve? Next year in 2018, we're going back to Arlington. And you want to be amazed about what the power of God can do through a group of 7th graders to 12th graders and college students? I invite you now to come with me next summer before you even hear the rest of the story. Most of the time you hear this phrase at Christmas. It's the most wonderful time of the year. And as parents, it is. About 3 weeks till school starts. Starting this week and next week, though, football players will be on the football field doing two-a-days. And I don't know if you've ever played football, but practicing in the morning and practicing at dusk is hot. And for 3 hours a day, it's real hot. And then 3 hours in the afternoon, 6 hours a day, it's very hot. I don't know if you've ever been a member of a marching band, but freshman band camp either started last week or this week, and then they do 2 weeks of intense band camp. I don't know if you've ever been through college or not, or preparing to take a new position at work, but there's something we all go through when we do that, training. College, you learn a task. Trade school, you learn a task so that you can go and perform that task for the rest of your life. Sometimes you decide mid-year, midlife. Some call it a midlife crisis. Some say that since I hit 40, I'm supposed to have a midlife crisis. I know where I'm going. excuse me. When you decide to change careers or whatnot, you have to go through training. Here's the one thing I learned from playing football, from coaching volleyball, from coaching softball, from coaching basketball, from playing basketball. This is one thing I learned about instrument playing. To be the number one first string offense, to be the number one chair in band, to be successful in school, you have to do one thing: to give your very best. You must be willing to give your very best. Even in hunting, to be the best hunter, you got to give your very best. To be the best fisherman, you got to give your very best. To be the best dancer, you have to give your very best. So why do we think the Christian life is any different? In the late 90s, there was a phrase that came out. I may be dating myself. Never thought I'd say that in a sermon. But in the late 90s, there was a phrase that came out, and it was one word. And it had a question mark at the end of it. And some of you that are raising teenagers today may have heard this word or may not have. Some of you in the late 90s that were raising teenagers did hear this word. And some of you probably wanted to spank your child or thought it was a sign of disrespect. And it probably was. The word was whatever. However, did you know that was a scriptural word? And it was the word that I challenged the students with Saturday when we arrived at Arlington, telling them I have no idea what we have to look forward to and where we were staying going there or what we would be doing during the week. We had See, I almost slipped up. I almost told you about Arlington. I promised myself I wouldn't tell you anything about Arlington until tonight. But we didn't have a plan. It was almost like Moses leading the Israelites. He went before God and said, God, I want the plan. Okay. God said, trust and follow. He didn't lay out how they were going to go around the wilderness for 40 years. He didn't lay out who would cross them into the promised land. He didn't lay out how they would conquer the promised land. He said to trust and to follow. But then the Apostle Paul gives us a word. And the first point of today's sermon, thinking about our illustration of whatever, and thinking about the preparation that the kids are going through to play sports this year, to be in band, that are starting college to start a career, the training that you may have been at on your job or the career that you now have, that you give your very best, the word for the point of number one is whatever. It's found in Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. And it reads this out of the New King James. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So I tell you again, whatever. God told each one of us, whatever. Whatever you do, eat or drink, and I mean, we're good Baptists, so we eat a lot and we drink a lot. So I basically took that when I read it as a Baptist and say, all the time. Your entire life, you should do whatever honors God, and you should give it to your very best. Well, God, I followed you all my life, and I don't have nothing to show for it, but look at what everything that they have to show for what they did. Okay. My daddy used to tell me a phrase, if I liked it so much, then go live the way they're living and go live with their parents. I'm not telling you that this morning. I'm wanting to put a thought in your head as I prepared and as I looked at the text and I went to this text and that text and then I just said, the Lord said, all right, Marvin, you preach all these texts. I still promise we'll get out before dinner time tonight. But whatever you do, do it with all your heart. So whether you eat an apple, eat that apple the very best you can. Whether you're repairing a tire because the tire goes flat, do the very best you can. That means without complaining. When you see somebody in need, do your very best to help them out. When you're on the job and nobody's doing right, do what's right. When you're at school and everybody's cheating because they know that state testing matters how much money the school makes, don't cheat and do your very best. In everything we do, look like Christ. Because here's the thing, God shows no partiality. Here's the thing, and it says it in the text. Whatever we do it with all of our heart because our reward is not in this earth. But I tell you this, and I told you the night that I shared about preaching the word in season and out of season. The first time you lead, God allows you to lead somebody to Christ, it'll be contagious, and you will have your reward right there. It is contagious. But how are we going to be the body of Christ if we're not willing to do whatever for the kingdom? How are we going to be the body of Christ if we look at different people in different ways? One of my rules for Arlington, and I will share this because if you go with me, there's going to be a rule. We say no derogatory statements about any place we go. Because they're just as much God's creation as we are. And in God's eyes, you are equal on both playing fields. He's just decided to bless some of us more than others. So whatever you do, do it to the Lord with all your heart. Colossians 3, 23, 24, and 25. Then, here's the hard part. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 and 7. know who's in charge. Know who's in charge. Guess what? I'm not in charge. I had the privilege to oversee and lead the student ministry of Ascension Baptist Church. And I was called to that role. Brother Robert has the privilege to preach and to be our pastor and to minister. But he will tell you very pointedly, because he's told me on numerous occasions, he's not in charge. This is God's church. So we have to come to the realization of who is in charge. And if you haven't come to that realization in your own life, then doing whatever for the glory of God is going to be tough for you. Because Paul says that we struggle between the flesh and the spirit. Jesus even told the disciples that. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We all want to be the very best that we can be. We know how Tom Brady became an excellent quarterback. Drew Brees became an excellent quarterback. You know how Peyton Manning was an excellent quarterback. Brett Favre was an excellent quarterback. I can go on and on about great quarterbacks. They knew their playbook. Today I ask you, do you know yours? I don't know as well as I should. And I've been in ministry come August 20 years. And I'm still learning more and more about who God is. But I got one thing for sure, and I understand one thing. God is in charge. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 3 through 7. How that by revelation he made known to me the mysteries, as I have briefly written them already, by which when you read, you understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has been revealed by the Spirit of his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel, of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. We live in a society today that has more information at our fingertips than any other time in history. Every atheist that has went out to disprove the existence of God has come to know Christ. Cold Case Christianity is a great series of books to read from a homicide detective. Our pastor has recommended The Case for Christ. Case for Christ is written by Lee Strobel, who was a former journalist for the Chicago Sun or Chicago Tribune. I forgot which Chicago he wrote for. But he went out to disprove God and used all of his journalistic expertise to disprove God, and he found God. Here's the beautiful thing about working for God and giving your very best for God. You don't have to do anything because it's all by his power. Some of you look at me like, I can't believe you just said we didn't have to do anything. You don't. You have to do one thing. Be obedient. Because with obedience, faithfulness comes. With faithfulness, trust comes. All these things are built into one word, obedience. And when you surrender your life completely to Christ and tell God, I'm going to give you my very best at everything that I do, then he does everything through you. And I just can't stop talking about what God's done in my life. I am not supposed to be a seminary graduate because I wasn't supposed to finish high school. I hope you don't mind me sharing it, but my friend Keith May says it scares him to death every time he comes up here to pray, and it scared him to death to give his testimony. Every time I stand behind this pulpit, I am scared to death. My knees rock. I sweat bullets until I get up here, and God just takes over. And I'm not bragging on me because it ain't nothing I do. It's all by the power of God because I understand that he is in charge. I want you today, if you don't take anything else out of the message, that when you go to share your faith with somebody, it's not you, it's him. He gives you the power to do whatever he's called you to do. He gives you the strength to overcome any obstacle in your life. He loves you. However, Paul, even the Apostle Paul, who wrote so many books of our New Testament, and who was the minister that was sent by God to the Gentile population struggled. I believe as a follower of Christ, every one of us has our struggles or our weaknesses. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 this. Second Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. And least I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in my flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet to me, least I be exalted above measure. Concerning these things, I plead with my Lord three times that it might depart from me. And here's what God said, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. But what does the world tell us? Well, you're good at this, so you should be this. Right there, Paul tells you just the opposite. Whatever your weakness is, maybe what God's calling you to do. Why? Because Paul says it in the opening part of verse 3. Very clearly, very plainly, he says, because then I can't boast about it. Again, I share with you, public speaking terrifies me. Putting my thoughts together in writing is not my strong suit. I do math at home. Nicole does English and science and history and all the other subjects because they're just not my forte. Why do I share that with you? Because I know my weakness, but I know who makes me strong in my weakness. I encourage you to find your weakness. Some theologians, and I told the students this in Arlington, some theologians have debated the thorn in the flesh for years. It was a sin problem. It was a temptation. It was this. It was that. I don't know what the thorn in the flesh is. I know what Paul says later on. My grace is sufficient. And in my weakness, I am found strong. So that I may not boast. Except in the Lord Almighty. Therefore, mostly glad, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Verse 10. Therefore, I take pleasure in my infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, I am strong. Everybody sing it with me. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. You just sang scripture. I am weak and he is strong. He loves me because he is strong and I am weak. It's not just about children, because we are all called by scripture the children of God. You can do anything that God calls you to do. Even if you think you're great at something, he may call you what you're worst at, so you can't boast in it. So you have whatever. Whatever you do, that's point number one. Whatever you do, do it unto the Lord. Number two, who's in charge? God's in charge. God gives you the strength. He gives you the power. He gives you everything you need. Number three, know your weaknesses. Number four, I tell you, I don't think there's a football coach out there or a band director out there that goes into the season and says, Cameron, help me out, what's the lowest rating you can get at band competition? A one. I don't think there's any band director out there going, we're striving for all ones this year. I don't think there's any football coach out there that's saying, we're going to strive for an 0-10 season. Why? Because they know the goal. Their goal is to win football games. How do they win football games? How do bands get superior ratings at festivals? They practice. They know who's in charge. They know what their weaknesses are. Then they practice and practice and practice, and whatever they do, they give their very best at. So what's our goal? We got shirts at Mission Arlington. And when you buy one of their shirts for $10, it pays for a shirt for another kid to go to camp through their summer camps. Every Saturday in the month of July, they take kids to camp at Camp Thurman. So when we bought 39 shirts, we paid for 39 kids' shirts at the same time. On the front of it is a big giant name tag. I think it's a name tag, so I'm going to call it. And it said Acts 2024. So I close with Acts 2024 this morning. Here's your goal as a believer. But none of you, oh, I give everybody a minute together. Acts 2024. I see fingers moving and I see here pages flipping, so I'll give everybody just a moment. I said, know your goal. Most of you probably thought he's going to Matthew 28, 19, and 20. He's going to Acts 1:8. But then I read this passage of scripture, or I had a couple of students read this passage of scripture to me, because I hate wearing scripture and not knowing what it says. Or I would hate wearing a reference and not knowing what it says. So I had one of them read it to me, and I said, man, that's powerful. Let me read it to you. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. There's your goal right there. And so it don't matter if you drive a garbage truck. It don't matter if you work out in clearing the fields or the ditches. It don't matter if you're a doctor. It don't matter if you've been called to the ministry. We all have the same purpose. We're all to be ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ and share his grace. People should know that we're different. When I stand next to a football player, I know he's different than me. When I stand by somebody that can actually sing and I try to sing with them, I know there's something different about them than me. Nobody's going to ask me to go into an operating room. One of our chaperones broke a tooth and they wouldn't let me fix it. Why? Because God calls each one of us to do different things. But yet he calls us to be the same thing. A minister of the gospel of grace. So whether you're the smallest in here and you go to preschool and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, or you are one step closer every day to going to see Jesus, I ain't asking anybody to punch in the reservation tickets at this point. We are to do the same thing every day, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and live as if we're different than the world out there. And they will be able to see it if you admit when you're weak. They will be able to see it when you give your all for Jesus Christ. They will be able to see it when they know that you know that you know that you know that you know who's in charge. They'll be able to see it when you begin to share your story with them. They'll begin to see it when they see that you have compassion when nobody else has compassion. They'll begin to see it when you stand up for somebody that's weaker than you are. They'll be able to see it when you hand somebody your leftover lunch walking back. Excuse me. They'll be able to see it when you're walking back from lunch with some of your coworkers and you hand it to somebody that's on the street because they tell you they're hungry. And they say, why did you do that? Because my Jesus fed me and I wanted to feed them. That's our goal, is to share his grace. I don't know what you've done. I know what I've done in my life. And some of you saw a video on Facebook where we took a 5-gallon bucket that was asked of us to do this and dumped an ice cold bucket of 5-gallon water on one of our chaperones. If God took that 5-gallon bucket and poured it over my head, I don't think there's enough grace in that bucket to cover everything that I've done against him. shared with the students, there's a song by Brandon Heath called Give Me Your Eyes. So as we close, I want you to think about this. Give me your eyes. Jesus talked to a prostitute. Jesus talked to an adulterous woman. Jesus talked to a woman who was living in adultery and not only caught in adultery, but the Samaritan woman had five husbands and had had the person she was living with then wasn't her own. Jesus talked to the ones with leprosy that nobody else would talk to or touch. Jesus found the hurting. Jesus talked to the poor. Jesus fed the hungry. Jesus found the people that nobody else would and reached out to them. And as the Apostle Paul says, my grace is sufficient for you. So today I ask, as we close, who in your life needs the grace of God? What did God's grace do for you? As I close today, I ask, will you give God your very best in every area of your life? I ask this day, do you know who's in charge? If you don't know who's in charge this day, then I will be happy to share with you. Brother Red will stop singing and share with you who should be in charge and who loves you more than anybody in this earth. We've got deacons, got other Sunday school teachers. We will get people to share the love of Jesus with you and the gospel. That's not a problem. If you don't know who needs to be in charge in your life, we will be here as long as we need to be here for. And then finally, as I close us in prayer and Brother Red comes to lead our time of invitation and challenge, our altar will be open for you to leave your weakness at the altar and ask God to make it strong. Our altar will be open for you to come and say, God, I need your grace. Our altar will be open to say, God, Lord, I need your eyes. Lord Jesus, I need to understand the goal that you have for my life. Because I'm just not sure. You don't have to move. If the Holy Spirit leads you to move, then great. But you can do business with God right there. But please, please, because the word of the God says, no man knows the hour nor the day that the Lord shall return. Do not leave here today without knowing who's supposed to be in charge of your life and having somebody share with you the love of Jesus through the gospel. Almighty, we come before you this day. Thank you for the opportunity to serve you. Thanking you for the opportunity to praise your name through song and through the preaching of your word. Father, I pray now that your Spirit would draw those who don't know you, Father God. Father, I pray right now that for those that are in here that need a redirection in life, I'm taking several redirections. Father, I pray for those that may be here that are just struggling with something in their life, that today would be their day, that they deal with it, they leave it at the altar and say, God, this is my thorn in the flesh. Would you please take it? And Father God, even if you don't take it, give them the power to overcome it every day of their life. So that you may be glorified and lifted up, Father God. This building is four walls made of steel and concrete. Father God, we are the church. When we leave this place, may we show the world that we are the church. May you be glorified. May you be exemplified. May you have your way in this place. In the most high name of his Son, Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.